Wessel's sister, Banks Terrace, Wellington, New Zealand, June 8, 1893. Mrs. Wessel's, care of your son, Philip Wessel's Claremont, Cape Colony, South Africa. Dear sister, your son, Philip, wrote that you would assist us in our mission work in these colonies by donating us £500. I thank you. As the ambassador of Jesus Christ, in his name, I thank you. We have not known where to turn or what to do. Financial prospects are very much depressed in Australia, particularly in Melbourne. Times are hard, very hard. But the work need not cease if we can only get help in this time of need. We do not want to be detained here another year, but the prospect is that we may be. If it were clear to us that it was our duty, we would go to America by way of South Africa. I am now bending every effort to help the people here. Last year I appropriated $1,000 of royalty on foreign books in America, and this year I have appropriated another $1,000 for the school. I am paying the expenses of no less than 8 students. Some have worked in the canvassing field, but needed the disciplining and training of the school. They needed the Bible studies and the other advantages that they obtain. This is all that I can do. I wish I had more means to appropriate in this way. The Lord knows all about these destitute fields, and He will work in His own way and time. Our Heavenly Father is rich, and the work is His. The cause is His. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3, verse 16. I feel a deep interest in the work in these colonies. Since I began to recover from my 11 months' illness, I have labored hard, and the Lord hath been my helper. The field here is large, and there is much work to be done. Oh, how hard to reach those who are bound up in worldly attractions! I do pray the Lord to break the spell that is on human minds. Paul inquires, "Who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth?" Galatians 3, verse 1. I am so glad that so many of your family have embraced the truth. The precious, glorious tidings of truth must go to all nations, kindreds, tongues, and peoples. It is the good news of glad tidings, of mercy for the sinner, truth and grace, and righteousness of Christ as a free gift to all who will receive it. The sin of unbelief is great when it can resist so great love. My sister, we feel the deepest interest for the success of the work in this field. It is missionary soil. He who seeth the end from the beginning will see the great necessity of facilities in these countries for the advancement of his work. The soon coming crisis calls for consecrated workers and calls for means to carry forward the work. There is all sufficiency in the divine administration, and the claims of God are upon us now in this dispensation to do our best. But we are never to lose sight of this statement of Christ, "Without me, ye can do nothing." John 15, verse 5. We may have money, we may have facilities, but we must have Jesus, and we must represent His own likeness of character, else wanting will be written against us. I have not met you, my sister, as I have your sons, but my heart goes out in love to you because you love Jesus and are obedient to the truth, and you have responded to the appeal made for Christ's sake, to you His steward of means, to help in this emergency. Our people in America have been pleased to see the work broadening and widening, as Christians believing present truth are awaking to the voice of duty, multiplying their institutions, and enlarging their plans, their activity animated by the hope that their humble efforts as human instruments may have the cooperation of the heavenly intelligences to prove their labors a success. We survey the fields of missionary labor. We see the preparations being made for more extensive work and say, "Thank the Lord, it is not too much." All must labor in faith, in cheerful obedience, putting forth self-sacrificing efforts proportionate to the value of the object we are in pursuit of, the salvation of souls, the eternal weight of glory. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Isaiah 61, verse 1 to 3. Here, the office of Christ is plainly specified, and the work he engages to do for fallen man, if he will cooperate with God. This is the overture of God's mercy to man. We must awaken to earnest activity. We have the testimony in John, "He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." John 1, verse 10 to 14. We must work by faith. We will have no stronger reason for discouragement than had the world's Redeemer, but of him we read, "He will not fail, nor be discouraged." Isaiah 42, verse 4. It may be said of a large proportion who know the truth that their strength is to sit still. Isaiah 30, verse 7. We must sow beside all waters, not knowing which shall prosper, this or that. We must expect God will work. We must pray much, and if the enemies of truth close up the way, we must not fail. We must not talk hopelessly and discouragingly, but go to work in some other place, for this is the way the master of the house used to do. Duty is ours. We must do our best. Results are God's. We are to advance, whatever the come out of our labor may be, because Christ has given us his example. In obedience to the commands of Christ, animated by his promise, his church must use every capability and every entrusted talent more earnestly than ever before to advance the truth, to save souls, and gather to their own souls every promise which inspires hope. Christ's church must put away every doubt, talk nothing but faith, for in Christ we shall do valiantly.